You are now listening to The Football Spectacle, the ultimate home of football.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Football Spectacle. It's just three of us today. Nick, Jamie, you want to say hello?
Hello.
Hey everyone.
Yeah, we're short Dow. Dow, we wish you safe travels while you are abroad. And so we're just rocking a three-man today. Should be a fun one. In this episode, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through every age group, starting from 16, going all the way up to 38, and we're going to pick the best football player in each position. We're each going to, you know, make our suggestions. We're going to debate who we think is going to be the best, and then at the end, I think we'll all come to a decision on the best, or if we don't, we won't. Should be a fun one. We've all done a little bit of personal research to kind of decide who we think we're going to pick and such, and then we'll just get right into it, I suppose. So, start off with 16-year-olds. Oh my god, I feel old saying that.
Makes me rethink everything I've done in my life.
Yeah, I know. Wow, that's literally seven years younger than us. Oh well. Anyways, 16-year-olds, and I think there's only one shout here for 16-year-olds, and it's, to be honest, that's pretty remarkable that what he's doing at 16. Can we all agree on Lamine Yamal?
100%,
absolutely. I mean, he's already a starter for Spain, starter for Barcelona, and already looks like a top player for Barcelona. Looks set to be the next big thing in Spain. He's tearing it up. And he only turned 16 in August, too, after the season started, which is even more ridiculous.
His stats are insane as well. Like, he's in the 92nd percentile for non-penalty expected goals for a winger.
Really?
Like, he's already doing it at such a high level, which is pretty remarkable. Some players like Rafinha and Ferran Torres are, like, staying out of the team because Lamine Yamal is just tearing it up. Yeah, I don't think there's much debate there for anybody else. Did you guys think of any other 16-year-olds? I certainly didn't.
No, Yamal is the immediate go-to.
Yeah, okay. Moving swiftly onwards then to 17, where again, I don't think there's much debate for anybody else here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going with Warren Zaire-Emery, I suppose.
You guys are okay with
that? Dude, he's so good. I was... I'm sure Nick was watching his two other Champions League game against Milan, the first game in the group stage,
and he was so
good. Like, he looks like such a mature player for his age. Really great talent, really good on the turn, great dribbling. He's just got he's definitely got something about him, and he made his first start for France. Unfortunately, he got injured, but
well, he scored as well. He became the youngest player to ever score for France, but he got hurt scoring the goal.
Yeah,
really unlucky. But he was also starting for PSG a lot last year.
Yes, when he was 16, I guess.
Yeah, also crazy. I believe he started the round of 16 match against Bayern when PSG got knocked out.
Yeah.
I think he played in both legs.
Wow.
Like, starting over, like, Fabian Ruiz and pretty established players.
I mean, to be fair, like, PSG's midfield situation, like, has probably granted him a chance to get into the team. Because, like, I think, like, they had a lot of players who they thought were going to be good talents but have been struggling. But still, like, he fully deserves to be in the team now, and, like, you know, kind of almost replacing Verratti and playing alongside, I guess, who's he play with? Vitinha and
Ugarte.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. Like, player. When Verratti left, they didn't replace him because they knew Zaire-Emery was ready, and he's proven that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of expected after Verratti left that there would be a huge dip in that PSG midfield, but he just has walked in and has looked awesome.
Indeed.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and he definitely deserved his France call up this time around. Yeah, shame he got injured though. Okay, cool. Why don't we move into the 18-year-old category now? And I think maybe we can start to have a little debate now.
Yeah, for me, there's only two options. I don't know what you guys thought. For me personally, I think it's Rico Lewis at Manchester City. And what I think is most impressive about him is that Pep has used him in a variety of roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's played, he's usually a left back,
mm-hmm.
But he's played right back, center back, midfield, wing, attacking midfield. He's kind of moved all over.
Yeah.
Which at 18, sorry, is pretty ridiculous that he's been so versatile. Usually that takes a lot of maturity and like a lot of experience to be able to do that too.
Absolutely.
He's been able to shift around and do a bunch of different things. And he's kind of, he replaced Joao Cancelo, who was arguably the best fullback in the world for a few years at City.
Mm-hmm.
And Pep decided, like, I need to start playing this guy. I think that shows that he believes in him a lot.
Yeah, he just recently got his first England call-up as well.
Exactly.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, he fits the mold perfectly for a Pep player because Pep loves people who can play in multiple positions. You know, so in that regard, he's such like a kind of Swiss Army knife of a player. He's got the technical ability which City looks for and obviously Pep Guardiola looks for in a player. So he's just been able to make him into an incredible player at 18 years old, which is just insane. I do think we have to also give a mention to Matthijs Tel as well at Bayern Munich. I think I'd probably take Rico Lewis as well, but he's also been a great talent. And I know he only really comes on for the ends of games for Bayern, but like he's still managing to score, like, you know, score goals. He's still managing to provide an output. So I think he deserves a shout out as well.
Yeah, so they bought him last summer from Rennes, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent over 25 million on him when he was just 17. And I think the thing that edges Rico Lewis for me is that he's also playing a lot more than he's starting games. Tell has to compete with Harry Kane, which of like no one's going to get in over Harry Kane for a starting spot at Bayern. His time will come. Kane's 30. He just might have to just be happy to be a super sub for the next few years. But once he starts going, I think we'll have a really exciting player as well.
Absolutely. And like, yeah, he's been doing quite well. Like he scored in two consecutive Champions League games against United and against Copenhagen. Like he's had a decent record this year. Yeah, 3 goals, 2 assists in just 200 minutes. Like that's pretty good. Pretty good output.
That's really good.
Yeah, so great player. But yeah, I think Rico Lewis is just at a bit more of a mature stage. And like you said, he's going to be starting and he's just going to be developing even farther.
So who else better to teach you how to be a striker than Harry Kane at the moment?
Like, very true. Yeah. So clinical right now. Yeah, it's very true. He's getting some great, great support. That's for sure.
Now to 19-year-olds, which I don't really think is a toss-up, but I think there are some good shouts for other options. Do you want to start talking about those other options? Who have you gone for it? Archie?
Yeah. This might be my bias coming through, but I did want to shout out Romeo Lavia at Chelsea. Obviously, he hasn't even played a single game for us yet because he's been injured, but I personally think when he was playing at Southampton last year and at the start of this year as well, he's really proved that he can, that he's going to be a class player. He plays as like kind of like a defensive midfielder, but like I would say he's kind of similar style to Caicedo, but I would just say a bit farther behind from Caicedo. He ranks in like the 81st percentile for tackles and 89th percentile for blocks. So he's very much in your face. I guess you could almost describe him as N'Golo Kante-esque / Caicedo-esque. And he's a great player, and I think him and Caicedo in midfield for Chelsea will be excellent, and at 19 he's just going to get better.
I will say, we are talking about best players at every age, and he hasn't played a game this season.
You're not wrong.
And he was never better than the other two guys I think we're going to talk about at any moment of his career so far.
My go-to for 19-year-olds would be Fabi.
I think it has to be Fabi.
Like, as a Chelsea fan, I love Lavia, but yeah. As you said, we're talking about best players at the moment in their age groups. It's tough. Like, if Lavia was playing this season, if he wasn't injured, he'd definitely be in contention, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Is there a single team on earth that Gavi wouldn't start for? Outside of maybe Real Madrid?
Yeah.
I think he starts everywhere.
He's not starting at City either. There's no way.
I think City would love to have Gavi. I think if he joined there, they would throw him right in. They would absolutely start him.
I don't think so. I gotta be honest, I think he's like... I think Gavi, like, great player, and he's, like we were saying, he's 19 years old, tons of potential, but I think people, like, are putting him, like, I think he's way worse than Pedri.
I think Pedri's better as well. He's also, he's a very different player to Pedri. Pedri's like the really creative technical player. Yeah. Gavi is just runs in circles like a mad dog and just,
yeah, he, but
he makes, he takes so much space on the pitch, like he's, and he's good at everything as well.
But you can,
he's kind of all over, he's
can,
everywhere.
You can tell in some tackles he goes into, he lacks maturity though. Like, I don't think, like, you know, well, I think he will be.
I mean, I lack maturity at 24. Like, he's only 19.
Exactly.
And he's been playing since he was 16 and starting for Barcelona since 16.
I think, though, that some of his immaturity, though, like, gets in his way at times. And I think he does, like, poor. Like, I feel like someone, like, you know, when you look at someone like Romeo Lavia or Evan Ferguson, you know, like, I don't know, Gavi's known for, like, his, like, aggression, which is good to have aggression as a player. But I feel like he sometimes does it in the wrong way.
That's going to be worked on. Like, he's still super young.
Exactly. Even the talking players, about right now.
I know, but one, he's also just an incredible player right now. Like, he's still starting for Spain, starting for Barcelona. Has been starting for Spain in huge games as well. The Nations League finals and stuff like that.
Like, I probably agree with you. I would say Javi's the best player, but I just think people think he's better than he actually is.
I do think he's a little overrated by Barcelona fans as well. But like, he's still is.
Yeah.
I don't, there's not many players in the world that I'd pick, I'd rather have at that age than, or around that age even, than Gavi.
I think there's like close to 10, 20 year olds who I'd take over Gavi.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'd rather have him over, I'd probably, oh, Ferguson's tough. I guess it depends what you're looking for. Yeah, I definitely take him over Lavia. I'd probably take him over Rico Lewis and Tell.
Yeah. We should talk
Yamal about Yamal and Zaire Emery. That, like, those guys are also looking incredible. Yeah. I don't know if I could take Gavi other than as of now.
Yeah. We should talk about Evan Ferguson as well. Like, he's proving at 19 that he can be a Premier League striker. And, like, I think he would, you know, he's almost carrying that Harry Kane crown in some measures, that, like, he's doing it so young. And I think he will, like, he could go into a team like United or Chelsea and he would produce right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to get bought next summer. I think it's United or Arsenal. And I think he's going to, if it's Arsenal, I think he'll walk in and be fantastic.
Yeah.
Man United, I'm not so sure, but he's been so good. I mean, he looks like the complete player. And he's big, he's fast.
He does, yeah.
Kind of has everything.
Yeah, he really does. And he's such a great goal scorer. Like, his shooting is impressive to see at such a young age. So yeah, you know what, I'll concede this one. I'll go with Gavi. But pretty much all I was trying to do is get my point across is I think he's overrated.
Yeah, that's fair. I wouldn't even be mad. Like, I wouldn't be mad to have Evan Ferguson either.
Yeah.
Like, both of them are really talented players.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we can move on to 20, which is, this is when it starts, like, the quality, I think, kind of steps up a notch a bit.
Yes,
like,
as well.
Yeah.
I think there's only one option here as well.
But we had to shout out Pedri and Musiala. Like, Musiala, if he was 19 or 21, I think he'd be...
I would take Musiala over Gavi.
Me too. Oh, absolutely. I don't think it was close. If you were to start a team right now, and you could have any player in the world, I think it goes like Mbappe, Bellingham, Haaland, and then I'd have Musiala right there. Maybe there's another guy or two. But yeah. Like, I think he's so promising. He's showing he can do it at the World Cup stage, the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing for Bayern. I think if Mbappe leaves, I think he'll be the number one guy for PSG. I also think if Madrid don't get Mbappe, I think he'll be the number one guy for Madrid to go after. I think every team wants to sign him.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, he is world class. Like, he's so good. But yeah, Jude Bellingham takes the cake.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's just like, his output this year has just been like ridiculous. Like, he's playing in a relatively more advanced position than he's ever kind of played in his career. Like, Ancelotti's literally created a position for him in the system. And, like, his output's just been insane. Like, he's rating in the 99th percentile for practically everything, like, goal-scoring related, take-ons, touches, progressive passes. Like, he's doing it all as well. Like, and he's kind of, you know, he's proving that, like, he is going to be one of the best players in the world.
I think he is one of the best players in the world right now.
As of now, he's the
Ballon d'Or. As of now, this season, he could be winning. Yeah, he could be winning the Ballon d'Or.
Musiala.
And Pedri too. I guess we didn't mention.
And Pedri,
also an amazing player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You gotta take him over Gavi, but
yeah, like, he's also been injured a lot recently. Like, his first season when he really broke out, I think it was 18. He played like 60 games in a year, played every single one.
Yeah.
In the Euros and for Barcelona. And then ever since, I feel like he's had a lot of injuries. He's been injury stricken this year.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he kind of gets it together because we know he's absolutely incredible. And I think he's will go down as one of the best midfielders in the world if he's not already.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't see him enough, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. He's world class, but yeah, he's definitely struggling with injuries. And at a young age, that's tough.
Yeah.
So I think he's kind of dropped down from the Bellingham Musiala conversation.
I still think he's up there. I think he might be in between those two, maybe even with Bellingham if he was always fit. But if you're not playing, like, how can you get better?
No, exactly.
Especially when Barcelona's also not in the greatest situation.
Yeah.
Like, Musiala and Bellingham are at way better situations.
Yeah.
Like, if Pedri played at one of those clubs, I think we would view him a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's my point as well. I still rate him very highly.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, so I think it's Bellingham, though. Like,
yeah,
easily. It is Bellingham. Yeah, okay. 21. Kind of a small number of candidates for 21.
Yeah, the only... I mean, my personal pick is Camavinga.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'd take Vardy all over him.
That's fair. I just think he's more experienced. He's done it at the highest
Camavinga
level.
Camavinga is?
Yeah. I mean, he's gone to a World Cup finals, a starting midfielder, when he wasn't supposed to be, when he was only 20.
Yeah.
I remember he was not supposed to start any of those games. Always going to be Conte and Pogba. They dropped out through injury. And he's, France's midfield still looked like maybe the best midfield at the World Cup, arguably. Like, him and Tchouaméni were incredible. He's also won a Champions League when he was 19. I think that's huge. Or was he 20 then as well, maybe?
Yeah.
He's already won pretty much everything. He's done everything you could ever ask for a player of his age. And it's not like he was bad in the World Cup final when they lost. He still played a pretty good game. And he's a surefire starter for... I mean, now he is a starter for Real Madrid. I mean, now that they're starting to phase out Kroos and Modric, he's a surefire starter for the best midfield in the world.
Yeah.
And for France, the best national team in the world.
I think I probably would take Camavinga. I was like, I mean, Gvardiola is going to be probably the best center back in the world, like, in the next little bit. But yeah, I probably agree with you. Like, Camavinga at left back as well was incredible. Like, he's also proving that he can kind of mold into multiple positions and, like, yeah, class player. So good technically. Yeah, a joy to watch.
He's really fun to watch as well. I think Gvardiola, if he had joined a bigger team earlier, or if he played for a big nation,
yeah,
would switch things. He had an amazing World Cup.
He did, yeah.
But he spent his early years in Croatia. He only moved to Europe right after the Euros. So,
yeah.
So 2021.
Mm-hmm.
He had two amazing seasons at Red Bull.
Yeah,
now he's finally got his big move, and he's looked good for City. Now he will look better, but they always take a while to phase in players.
He's also playing in kind of like a left back, ish kind of position.
But that's kind of what that's perfect for him.
Like, absolutely,
I think he's the most perfect guy for that in the world. I think he's most perfect,
probably
left back / center back. He's so good at playing both.
Mm.
Yeah, to be honest, I loved Nathan Ake in that position last year.
Yeah,
like
I did too.
I think he should have. He should still be playing in that position, but I mean, Gvardiola is Gvardiola. He's so good as well.
Do you think Nathan Ake is better than Gvardiola?
Like right now?
Right now, probably.
Really?
Like, I think Nathan Ake was one of the top 2 to 3 defenders in the Premier League last year. Like, he was actually incredible.
But they also didn't need him. Like, when he got injured, it didn't really matter. Like, he was amazing when he played, and we were all. Everyone kind of thought, oh, like, City might be screwed when he got hurt. And it was fine. Like, they looked absolutely fine without him.
Yeah. Well, they also just have so much backup as well. Yeah. Like, they've put in Laporte or John Stones or Ruben Dias or, like, you know, like, they had so many center backs.
Yeah. But they bought Gvardiola because they expect him to be the best in the world at that position. And he's already up there. Like, there's no other young center back I'd rather have than him.
No. No, it's not. So yeah, I think Camavinga probably takes it for me.
Okay.
Jamie, do you think Gvardiol as well?
I still like Gvardiol, but I totally see why you'd say Camavinga.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. 22.
Now this is an interesting age group.
Yeah.
We've got some really big players here. I think there's a lot of players that are kind of around the same level as well. Do either of you two have an immediate name that you go to at 22 years old?
I have two, but I feel pretty strong about one.
Let's hear it then.
Saka, Bukayo Saka.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's already the second best winger in the Premier League, besides Salah.
Yeah.
And he's just been amazing in the last few years. He's looks way more mature than his age. He just looks amazing. He's great on the ball. He's a great athlete. He's really good technically. He's a really good decision maker. He can also do a ton of roles as well. He can kind of play anywhere in the attack, but he can also play as a right back or probably as a left back too if you really wanted him to. I think he can do it all. He's been like the biggest protagonist of the Arsenal come up in the last 2 years of how they completely changed things around.
Yeah.
I think his growth has gone alongside Arsenal's as well.
Yeah. What about you, Archie?
I would probably agree with Nick.
Mm.
As much as I hate Arsenal, I think Saka has been just that man for them. Like, he's been so good. But again, I'm gonna bring my bias into this, and I do want to talk about Enzo Fernandez. I think I would take Saka, but like, Enzo is proving that he's gonna be Chelsea's guy in midfield.
He is your guy. He's just your guy on the team.
He really is. Like, he's just proving he's such a class player. He's been our man linking our midfield and our attack, and that's somebody who we've really missed. Him and Cole Palmer are doing a great job of that. He ranks in the 97th percentile in progressive passes, proving that he's just, you know, he's being able to transition us really well. Which is what Chelsea needs. We've lacked such that cutting edge recently, and he's starting to finally provide it for us.
That's what we were really missing in that Jorginho ball, just side to side, backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Enzo really likes to penetrate lines.
Which is what is needed to, you know, progressing the ball forward quick and with, you know, dynamically, which he so provides for us, and he's just going to get better as well. Like, again, he's only 22.
Yeah.
I think based on maturity, I think I would still take Saka because he's been doing it for the last like 3-ish years now, like at a top level.
I mean, Enzo just came off the World Cup.
It's very true.
But he's also an unknown for the World Cup. Like, he did have a great tournament. I probably
like he's been successful since. Like, people are saying, oh, like, nobody's known this guy. It's just the World Cup, and these crazy. Leads to a crazy price tag.
Well, that is exactly what happened.
But he's playing so well. He's one of Chelsea's best players.
Yeah,
game in, game out.
Yeah.
So I think he's deserved that price tag. And he had a breakout season, but I think he's done really well.
Yeah. Also, if he came through, like, for example, the Chelsea Academy, like, he would be like, you know, the reason why I think he was kind of behind Saka as well is because he came from Argentina. And, like, nobody just, you know, he wasn't in the main spotlight, and then he was in Benfica for a while, still doing great as well. Like, you know, the talent was clearly there, and then just the World Cup gave him that like
that
stage to.
But you wouldn't have bought him if he didn't have an amazing World Cup.
No, yeah, exactly.
And Benfica bought him for 10 million, gave him a 500k I think a year, and then 6 months later they sold him for 120, and he was making 10 million.
Hey, it's great business for Benfica, but I think it was still a very valid signing for Chelsea. We needed him.
Yeah, like he was.
We needed him. It's worth it for us.
Yeah. He's one of the only players in the world who plays like his position at a young age, which is
I think it just says more about the ownership though. Like, I think it's I think he's worked out, but I think it's awful that your ownership watched this guy play 6 games and we're like 11 games, sorry, and then we're like this is the guy.
But it paid off, so I don't care. Like,
you know, you can like I agree with you. Like, I'm much more into detail and, you know, being in depth with those signings, but bro, like, you know, you can also see talent in 11 games, and he's
he's
proving it in confidence. I would agree, like, some other signings maybe Chelsea has done, you might be like, I don't know, maybe even someone like Nico Jackson, you know, may have not watched.
Yeah, he was Mudryk too. He's only had a couple, like two or three good Champions League games and yeah. Screw him 100 million.
Also, Jackson was only really, like, he was insane at the end of the La Liga last
year. Yeah, same half of
like,
the league.
He scored amazing. Like 8 goals in 7 games or something like that. And then, like, you know, I don't know. And those ones you can maybe scrutinize. But Enzo, I don't know. Like, you're taking a shot in the dark when you're doing it, but that's sometimes you got to act quickly.
He's
paid off.
Jackpot. Or bullseye, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Moving away from Enzo, or first, I think that I might lean towards Enzo over Saka in this situation. Mm. One player I wanted to bring up is Kvaratskhelia. I might be butchering the name.
Kvaratskhelia.
Kvaratskhelia.
I'm not gonna lie.
Kvaradona. but if you guys are going Saka, I think Kvaratskhelia has had a much more impactful season last year.
I don't even think so. I think he's severely overrated. I think he's really good.
Really? Well, it was just this one year. He had an absolutely breakout season.
Yeah.
He led Napoli to this Scudetto.
I mean, he won the MVP. He won the MVP, but everyone knows it was Osimhen that carried them.
It was
awesome, but...
But he was a massive, massive part of that team. And that's also not a team where... It's not like City, where every single player is so, so good. Like, maybe you have Osimhen who's scoring all the goals, but you need other pieces to that team, and he was the second biggest piece.
He was. The thing about Napoli is that he is someone who's really good at breaking down tight defenses. So like a Leao, for example, he shines against the biggest teams because if you give him space, he'll just kill you. Kvara is the complete opposite. He's not very good against the big teams, but against the small ones where they'll pack the box, he's so good at like with his dribbling and getting open and finding space.
Yeah.
That I think that is a huge reason why Napoli won the title, because they lost against every top team, but they'd smoke the smaller ones, and it's a thing in Italy where the worst teams are always capable of being the top ones.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every year. Like every top team will lose to a relegation side or a bottom five. Napoli didn't. They were smoking the small teams.
Also, like he's also been injured this year as well.
Yeah, he's not played well this season. He's starting to find his form. I mean, they fired the coach. Napoli in general hasn't been good.
No, but I think that was also a big part of it, is the system with Spalletti was...
Yes. Just fit Spalletti him and just let him do whatever he wanted, and it worked out really well.
Yeah.
But I also want to throw in Saliba out there.
Yeah, he's another one. I think he was one of the best center backs in the world last season.
I think he's top five. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys see that comment that Deschamps said, though? He was saying pretty much, like, when he's at Arsenal, like, he doesn't have to worry about competition because he knows he's going to start every week. But when he comes to the France team, like, he knows, like, he has competition. Like, he didn't start their game against... I know they're playing Gibraltar, but, like... He's pretty much started their best team, like, and Saliba didn't start, which was surprising.
I find some of Deschamps' choices pretty ridiculous, though. Like, remember he didn't use Theo Hernandez until last year.
Also, he still uses Rabiot. Like,
yeah, well, I think Rabiot deserves to be in that setup. But
Tchouameni and
he had Luca Hernandez playing left back, center back, and then Theo only got to come in. So then he got hurt, and now he's. France's top three.
Bro, if we're talking about national team coaches, we gotta talk about Southgate.
Like, I think
that'll be a whole episode.
Yeah, I think Deschamps like Southgate, where they're getting away with their tactics because the team is so good.
Yeah.
Because, like, France is just stacked. They're hands down the most depth in the world.
National team manager jobs are like, you wouldn't think they're that hard. Like, I don't know. Like, they just have to watch games, and then they have this period for once every couple months, right?
Yeah. I'd almost argue the opposite. Conte talked about this. He's like, it's so hard to get players to know a system when you only see them once a month or every 2 months.
Well, so again, I don't want to get into like this, but like, you know, like that's why you just play like... You make it a system that everyone can learn. Like you don't do anything too intense in depth. Like doing like specific, like, you know, you press when the ball goes here and the shape moves all like this. Like you create a simple system that is effective for a bunch of guys who are always rotating in and out. And then you know, they're smart guys. They're the best players in the world. They're gonna learn you know, to play like a simple system pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for them is to make sure you're playing the right players. Yeah, Southgate was really guilty of not playing the right players. And he's starting to. I still think he makes the odd mistake.
Bro, he's starting Jordan Henderson still.
Like, yeah, but besides his like obvious bias towards some players, I think he's starting to get most of it right. Like, he refused to play Foden until like halfway through the World Cup, when Foden was England's best player for the first few games. And yeah, he didn't want to use Rashford for a while and stuff like that. I think Deschamps does the same thing where he makes some of the wrong choices, but his team's so good that doesn't matter. Hey, Saliba should be starting every game.
If he took Benzema for that World Cup squad, they might have won it.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. They.
I was thinking Mike Maignan is there. Like, Lloris can't save a penalty to save his life, and he had an awful tournament. You have someone who could save a penalty, I think they win the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
Because that would be Mike Maignan, but just not Lloris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, tangent. So, yeah, 22. Who are we picking?
I say Saka. We haven't even mentioned Rodrigo, which or Martinelli, who are both great players.
Rodrigo's great. I just think he gets overshone by Vinny.
I think
same with Martinelli, to be honest.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead?
I was just going to say, I think Rodrigo is one of the most impactful super subs you could ever have, though.
Yeah.
When that guy comes on 70th minute or something,
yeah,
if I'm a fullback, I'm panicking.
He's a great, he's a goal scorer.
Like, yeah, as a great winger, change of play, pace player.
Yeah, but I don't think he's on the level of Saka or Enzo.
I'd take Saka over Martinelli as well. I know you just mentioned his name, so I don't know if we have to talk too much about him.
Saka as well.
But overall, I still am leaning towards Enzo. I don't even know if Saka's the best winger in this age group. I think Kvaratskhelia could take that spot.
I'd take
Saka. But anyway, so I go Enzo. He's
Yeah.
As a Chelsea fan, he's our guy. Like,
I don't hate that. Like, I still say Saka. I think I'd end up two.
Yeah.
I'm fine to go Enzo, honestly.
That Kvaratskhelia take is bold, Jamie.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude.
Yeah, I don't think I believe that, but I'll
clickbait.
Yeah. You've been clickbaited. No, but I'd agree with you. I'll take Enzo over Saka. Of course I will. Okay. Boys, I think we might have to speed this up a little bit.
Yeah,
we've been moving slow.
Yeah.
I think 23 and 24 we can go pretty quickly. Think Haaland for 23, is that what
you're saying? And shout out Vinny. I think he's any other age he probably is chosen besides whoever's at 24.
Yeah.
But Haaland.
Yeah, I don't think there's other great players, Alphonso Davies, Phil Foden. Yeah, like I Haaland takes the cake. Like, there's no debate.
Best striker in the world.
Yeah. 24, also no debate. This one is unanimous, I think.
Like, it's obviously Leao, right? It's Leao.
Oh, shut up.
I was going to say Declan Rice, actually.
yeah, Mbappe, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely some other good players in this age group with Leao, Osimhen.
Yeah,
but it's hands down Mbappe.
Yeah, I mean, Mbappe and Haaland are, they are going to be, we would think the two battling it out for the next 10 odd Ballon d'Ors. So, like, they're going to, they're hands down the best at their age, and they're only going to keep getting better, and, both going to be some of the top best players in the world.
Yeah, I do think the 25 age group goes down a tier. Like, Haaland and Mbappe are arguably the two best players in the world.
Yeah. it's tough to compete when you just come off Haaland and Mbappe back to back.
Yeah, still great players, but just nowhere near those candidates.
Yeah, my pick for 25 would be Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Mm.
Some other good players in that age group as well, but I'm really liking Trent in his slightly more advanced role, where he's less of a liability when he was playing fullback. But what do you guys think?
I like Trent.
Yeah.
I thought he's been playing better in a more advanced position. I thought he was great in the England game this week.
Yeah, he was. Some of those passes he was hitting.
He's a pure, I think he's got one of the best passing range in the world.
I think, apart from Kevin De Bruyne, he's the second best passer in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I would probably take Fede Valverde over him, though. He's one of my favorite players to watch, I think. Like, he's just got bags of energy. He's just kind of good at everything. Like, and that's what makes him so fun to watch. He's just, such a ball of energy running around. Great on the wing, great in midfield. Yeah, I think he kind of gets almost undershadowed a bit at Madrid with, you know, all their other stars. And like, I think he's just up there with the rest of them, with Vinny, with maybe a bit worse than Bellingham, but like, he's so good.
He is amazing. And they just found him in Uruguay, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Mickey Mouse. I was going to say Del Rey, but I think I changed my answer to Trent.
Yeah.
Just because I'm forgetting how ridiculous he was a couple of years ago when he was getting 12 assists a season in the Premier League. I get it's like, who's the best right now? But I still think Trent, in the right system with the right players around him, is that guy. And he's completely changed the way we look at fullbacks. Valverde, I think, is incredible too. I wouldn't be mad if we decided to switch with him. But
yeah,
I think Trent's just a generational player. I don't know if Valverde is.
Valverde's just so damn good at everything.
He's just so good at everything. Yeah. And he had a story that he talked about a few days ago about how he never shot. His girlfriend would always say, like, Fede, you have to be shooting more, like, shoot whenever you get the ball, just shoot it. And he was like, okay, fine. And now he's been banging long shots all the time. He scores tons of goals for Madrid. And he scored over 10 last season.
Yeah,
he probably will get another 10 this season.
Yeah,
and usually coming from midfield, or is like kind of like wing midfielder hybrid thing that he does a lot too.
Yeah
I think he's great. But yeah, I see your shout with Trent. Like, yeah, he's revolutionizing what fullbacks can do. So I see it. Absolutely. 26, kind of no out and out favorite here, I would say. I think we could have a little.
Yeah, this is going to be a good debate. Few players.
Yeah. I think leading, I'll shoot out a couple names here. I think my number one right now, but I could be swayed otherwise, would be Ruben Dias probably.
I agree.
Like, best center back in the world argument potentially.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Like, so good. But I would throw in Nick, I'd throw in your boy Teo Hernandez, and I'd also throw in Nkunku as well. Those are kind of my three favorites, I would say.
I did the same thing, and I'd probably just put Frankie De Jong maybe over Nkunku. That's the only one.
It's tough,
but that's a toss up. Like,
yeah, it's tough saying Nkunku right now though, because we haven't seen him play at all.
Yeah,
in the prime.
But he was amazing.
He was so good at Leipzig. Oh my word!
But I also think like De Jong is also like a generational midfielder. Generational talent. Like, been amazing at Barcelona. I don't think his potential has been fully unlocked there, but I still think he's been incredible. I'm inclined to go Dias than Teo as well.
Right. I definitely think Dias is the best player at this age. Potentially best center back in the world, as we just said.
Yeah.
What one honorable mention? I think that Ousmane Dembele, if he wasn't riddled his entire career with injuries, he could have been the best player in the world.
He had
the most incredible potential, seeing him as a young player, and it's sad because I don't think he's quite reached it.
Yeah.
But what a player.
He has the fifth most expensive price tag ever, his move from Dortmund to Barcelona. His talent, how old was he when he moved there? Like, 19?
19. He had 1 year at Dortmund. Yeah. And he was good. Like, he was really good.
He was really good.
But then he was the Neymar replacement, which put a lot of pressure. And, of course, Barcelona, using that Neymar money, dug themselves into a massive hole. I feel like he was the scapegoat because he was the Neymar replacement. And he's still playing fine. Then the injuries came in, and then the team was in huge debt, and they were getting all these penalties. And it was the 8-2, of course.
Yeah.
The whole team against Bayern Munich, which the whole team collapsed.
Yeah. That was also the same time that they signed Coutinho as well for the fourth most expensive price tag.
But they're still paying today. They're still paying off some of those loans.
It's insane.
So Liverpool, also that transfer fee is ridiculous.
Yeah, which makes it so shocking they're able to like activate all these levers and still buy players and not have to pay all this debt back first for
crappy transfers. Well, the best way to get through debt is to just get more debt to pay off that debt.
Exactly.
Everyone does it. Barcelona is doing it to a different level.
We're turning into a financial analyst.
Yeah. Well, every team does it. Like, Todd Bowley has been taking a bunch of loans. Everyone does it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm saying, like, there's
Like they just
that can be great.
Well, they're selling grass for $200 a square. Yeah, so like that.
That's hilarious.
I can't believe we haven't brought up Rashford, which is probably going to anger a lot of people listening to this.
He's just been so hit or miss the past couple of years. Like, when he's on form, like, I think if we were doing this, like, 6 months ago, like, Rashford would 100% be in the debate. Like, I would take him over in Nkunku, probably. But he's just been piss poor this year, unfortunately.
It's awful, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's really sad to see, because I love Rashford when he's on his day. Like, I remember watching him for England in the World Cup qualifiers and even a bit during the World Cup. He was fantastic. But he's just been off it this year. And, like, he seems to be doing that, blowing a bit hot and cold. And, yeah, he just doesn't... For me, he just doesn't get close to Ruben Dias and Teo Hernandez now.
Fair.
Yeah.
I'm not 27. There's only one show for me. I don't think it's close.
Yeah, Rodri. We've talked about him a lot in this podcast about how he could be the best defensive midfielder ever. Well, like, I think he could be, like, by the time his career's done.
He's got the potential, yeah. I think he's probably the best in his position in the world right now.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's close to the best in the world right now.
I don't know about ever, but I remember we chatted about that on a previous episode.
I think he could be, though. Like, I think he could be better than Busquets.
He's
like,
got the potential.
I love Busquets. Like, he's such an underrated talent, Busquets was, like, throughout his career. But that's the thing. These, like, players like Busquets and Rodri, their roles kind of go undercover, like, what they do for the team. Like, I think City depends on him so much for his passing ability and kind of the support he provides to the defensive line as well. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think he will, if he continues at City and finishes his career, like, or plays a lot of his career there, like, he'll no doubt be one of the best ever in his position.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Now 28. Not the deepest pool of names that we have here.
Yeah.
I say based on... I think it has to be Joshua Kimmich for me.
Yeah, I'm definitely fine with that shout. I do really like Jack Grealish, and I know Dow also really likes Jack Grealish.
If he was here, he would be fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah, so Grealish, one of us has to fight for Jack Grealish, so I'll put on the hat. I think he's such a good player. Like, he is, you know, proving now that he's kind of understanding Pep's system. Like, you know, he did an interview I saw where pretty much what he said was, under Dean Smith at Aston Villa, like, Dean Smith was just like, go do whatever you want. Like, you can run wherever over the pitch, just find the holes. And, like, you know, he was able to analyze the game and then impart himself how he could. But with Pep, he's, you know, Pep's systems rely on you. Like, you're in a position, you do that position.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there is interchange and there's free flowingness, but within your position. And as a winger, like, Jack Grealish's role is to pretty much stay as wide as possible and then just keep making runs down the line, beating defenders, going one-on-one. And, like, I think it took him a while to adapt, but last season and now this season, he's been so class.
Yeah, he has been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But better than Kimmich? I don't think so. But, yeah, a class winger, for sure. Do you want to talk about your... I'm surprised you haven't said your boy yet.
I mean, I'd probably take him over Grealish when he's on form, but he's had a pretty tough 2023, a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think on his day, he's definitely top three keeper in the world.
Or they're talking about Mignol.
Absolutely up there.
Yeah, talking about Mignol.
I didn't say his name, did I?
No.
He's talking about somebody.
Yeah, Mike Mignol.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing on his day. Like, he's an amazing shot stopper, penalty specialist, great with the ball at his feet, can whip it long and gets assists, like... He can do it all. He's a very complete keeper. Absolutely. I don't think Milan's going to keep him for very long. I think he's going to be bought for 80 to 100 million, either this summer or next.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying him while I can.
Yeah. It's funny how he's the first goalie we've mentioned, and we're at 28.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't really expect it, because we always assume that goalies get better as they age.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's so many young superstars coming out of every position.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of surprised, like, we didn't see a goalie at, like, I don't know, 23.
Well, Donnarumma is 24, but, like, you're not competing with Mbappe.
I guess so. Yeah, that's true. Maybe, you know, also because this is kind of a weak pool. Like, if we had, like, Mbappe and Haaland, like, Minan wouldn't even be said.
No, he would not be on this list.
Yeah, so that's fair. But yeah, Joshua Kimmich, I think, takes the cake for 28.
Yeah.
29, I think this is an interesting one. I think this is where we can get in some debates again, because...
Or we can hate on Bruno.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Bruno Fernandes is... I just don't like him. And I'm sure, you know, yeah, maybe you could say, like, he is a good player and maybe deserves to be the best 29-year-old, but I don't know, man. He's such a crybaby, and, like, to be honest, he's been pretty, like, pretty bad for United this year as well. Like, I just don't like him and how he acts on the pitch, and, like, I don't know. I don't, like, I think I'd much rather take Bernardo Silva or John Stones. Yeah, definitely take John Stones or Bernardo Silva over.
I'd lean towards Bernardo Silva. I'd argue that maybe Stones is more important to his team right now, but Bernardo Silva is different gravy. He's just so nice on the ball.
Yeah.
Such nice dribbling, good passing, good movement. He's definitely one of my favorite players to watch. He's just so exciting.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I prefer him over Bruno Fernandes at this time.
I think I have to. I love Bernardo Silva.
Yeah.
I was thinking if he wasn't at City, he'd be appreciated more.
Yeah.
Because he's now moved into that, like, right midfielder role. But he was also incredible as a center mid. Incredible in, like, a pivot in a 4-3-3-1, mm-hmm. where he has more defensive duties. He's amazing on the wing. Attacking midfielder is his best position. Yes. He's just super fun to watch. Great dribbling. Yeah. Great passing. He can do everything. His shooting's unbelievable too.
Yeah, he's one of the best dribblers in the Premier League, I would say. Right. It's 4.26 progressive carries per 90. Like, that's insane.
I think he's easily one of the best dribblers in the world.
Yeah. Really, really good. So yeah, I'd take him over Bruno, over anybody else really.
Me too. I think Bruno's sort of a shout because he's kind of been the face of Manchester United for the last few years, and he's carried them for the last 3 or 4 years. But I'm taking Bruno Silva every day. We do have to remember that Man City really wanted to sign Bruno before United got him. If he had gone there instead of Bruno Silva, we'd be saying the same stuff about Bruno. But
yeah, I still think he's a big baby, so that's not changing my mind. But yeah, him playing for Man United probably amplifies that a bit as well.
Yes, yeah, especially being the captain too.
Exactly, yeah.
He's the face of trouble at that point.
He really is, yeah. Okay, well, moving swiftly onwards. 30. We're into the
old man's.
The old man's. Sorry if you're over 30 and watching this. Okay, I mean, I think there's also only one shout here for me.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Harry Kane!
Yeah. Yeah, Harry Kane is... My God, is he good. He's like... In our generation, he's the best striker of the ball I've seen.
That's fair. I also think it's about time that he gets respect he deserves on a good team. Because I've personally been saying for years, you can check the receipts on this podcast, I know I've talked about it before, I think he's been better than Lewandowski for years.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Lewandowski was a Ballon d'Or favorite, I thought it was Harry Kane's still a better player, just playing for a very much worse team, mm-hmm. where he had to do everything, where Lewandowski's got to feed off everyone and get a bunch of goals. And now I think I've been proven right, because Harry Kane has looked so much better than Lua ever did, personally, I think.
Mm.
Because he's so clinical, and he gets all these chances made for him, but he's also so good at creating for people too. He's getting tons of assists. He scored from halfway a couple weeks ago.
That was ridiculous.
That was crazy.
And I mean, he's the reason why Bayern have not looked at the good this year, in my opinion. I think their defense is a shambles, their midfield doesn't look good, but because they have Harry Kane, they will be a challenger for the Champions League, and I don't think they'll win it.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry Kane has changed everything.
Yeah. Apparently, you guys know Noel Gallagher from, like, Oasis?
Yeah, he's a big Manchester City fan, right?
Big City fan. He said that Harry Kane would be the best person to replace Kevin De Bruyne behind Haaland.
So interesting. That's such a weird take.
Yeah, that's such a strange take. I saw that. I was like, but I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, that's not like... It's not like...
I don't like it.
I mean, I would say I don't like it, but I'm not going to say it's wrong.
Yeah. Like, it seems kind of backwards, but you're kind of like, man, like, he could do it. Yeah. I think he could play as a 10 and be great.
I think so. Yeah, we're going to have a false 9.
Yeah. Like, false 9.
Wow, that's interesting. Somewhere else ahead of him. I think we'd... I wish we'd see him play for a team like Liverpool, where there's,
that been so
like,
fun.
Solid people running off him. I wonder what it would have been like.
He played in the Bobby Firmino role.
Yeah. Because we're kind of seeing that with Leroy Sané.
Leroy Sané's been insane.
Leroy Sané's been ridiculous. Yeah. I feel like Kane's made him a lot better because he takes up so much space in the middle.
He does, yeah.
That Sané can kind of move inside, or seeing him convert from a winger into someone who like more like an inside forward,
yeah,
which he hasn't always been.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. Love Harry Kane. Definitely deserves to be the leader on this list. We kind of talk about some others. Ederson, I mean, the goalie in the best team in the world. Yeah, I don't know. Varane, no. Like, he's kind of been a bit washed the past couple
years. Yeah, I'd also say Dybala.
Dybala's been good, but...
But, again, plays for Roma on a crap team who... And he's always injured. Like, I still think on his day, he's the second best on his list, but I think just staying at Juventus way too long and then joining Roma has really hurt his career.
I didn't think Dybala would be 30 years old.
It still feels like he's, like, 25. Same with Grealish. Like, I cannot believe he's 28.
That's true.
Still feels like he's 24 to me.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Dybala is definitely someone who I would kind of say, like, you know, yeah, on his day can be one of the best on this list, but can also blow a bit hot and cold.
I think when he played, he's always amazing. It's just the injuries. Like, I do think he's an absolutely world-class player. It's just, when you're playing at Roma, when they play really terrible football, there's not great players around him, and he has to do everything, that's hurt him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Harry Kane takes the cake.
Absolutely. 31, I think it's more of the same, personally.
No, I agree. Mo Salah, all the way. But Jamie, I know you maybe had another take.
Like, I think Son gets a shout this season. He's been quality. Tottenham, top of the league without Harry Kane. Son's taken all the responsibility on the team. But it's still Salah. And Salah's been that guy for the past, like, what, 8 years?
Yeah. He's just been, like, and this year we're seeing, you know, the Salah of 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, was it? Like, he's just been so lethal again, and, like, I think Liverpool are kind of, you know, understatedly looking like, you know, title contenders again. And, like, Salah's just been so good. I don't think it's a debate. I do think Son's been really good.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he's the only reason why that Spurs team is doing really well again. I think Postecoglou's system, but then also James Maddison, like, have just been insane as well. So I think Son's amazing. I just think Mo Salah's just on an individual level. He's just so pure.
I'll go with Salah as well. Yeah. I just wanted to mention Son.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Courtois also deserves some recognition here.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some good goalies on this age group.
Yeah, Emi Martinez as well.
Well, also Alisson. The guy who I was going to say. Alisson and Courtois are, like,
two
of the best goalies.
Emi Martinez just won the, the Golden Glove?
Would you take him over Alisson or Courtois?
I think Courtois is the best goalie out of those three, personally.
Mm-hmm. I personally think it's Alisson. Alisson was amazing last season.
Yeah.
I'd take Alisson over Courtois.
Fair enough.
But Courtois was also the best goalie, like, in the Champions League. That run he did was ridiculous.
Yeah. He's too big. it's impossible.
He is.
I think that he's the best goalie in the world right now, apart. Like, Emi Martinez had a great World Cup.
I will say,
stuff,
he has it over the year. He can't be the best right now because his ACL is
very
entire.
True.
Same with Neymar, too.
Yeah. And who knows how he'll be when he's coming back.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Courtois is a snake as well. So he can't win this list. No snakes allowed.
Even if he's fit and, like, so on form that we're like, hands down, he's the best keeper in the world, he's not getting over.
No.
Getting over Mo Salah.
Neymar does deserve a shout. Like, if he didn't get injured... Like, you know, we could still be talking about him, but he's also at Al Hilal now, like...
I know. Really kind of faded into obscurity
a
little
sad.
Bit.
I know we talked about him a lot already, so we can kind of move on, but yeah, sad. 32. Two big names, I would say.
I'd say three. Me too, but I'm not saying who I think you're going to say.
It's
De Bruyne for sure. Yeah. Let's just get that out of the way.
Who's your surprise?
I think Griezmann is the best player in La Liga and an absolute like force of nature. I think he's back to like, I think he's better than he's ever been.
Really?
I think he's world class a few years ago. Had a couple, few years, especially when we went to Barcelona. But last season, I think he was the best player in La Liga. This season, I think he's the best player in La Liga.
You think he's ever going to win the league, though?
No, I don't think he will.
He has, hasn't he?
No, never won. He went to Barcelona
the year Atletico won.
Oh my goodness. Back to Atletico and Barcelona immediately won.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's so funny.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But he's just ridiculous. And now that he's not just a striker, he's more of a midfielder. He drops back a lot. Yeah. He's doing all this, like, he connects the midfield and the attack, but he's also doing defensive work and he's scoring all the goals and getting all the assists.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, even at the World Cup, he was incredible as an attacking midfielder. Like, one of France's best players for sure.
No.
Kind of reinvigorated himself because there was a really rough patch at Atletico the last 3 years before then.
Yeah. Like, I probably agree with you. Like, when I've been watching Griezmann play, I love this new role he's playing. Playing more as a center mid, but still scoring, creating chances. Like, he's doing it all. Yeah, and obviously the other person we haven't talked about would be Van Dijk. He's up there with best center backs in the world. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, De Bruyne's I think a level over both of them. But
yeah,
hands down, he's the best one for me.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, like, you know, if you gave me Gerrard, Scholes, Lampard, and De Bruyne, I think I would maybe take De Bruyne over all of them.
I don't think it's even that close. I think I would just take De Bruyne.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's the best midfielder in Premier League history, for sure.
Yeah, and he's definitely the one that got away from Chelsea. I know we talked about this. He probably would have never reached the level if he
wouldn't have developed the same.
Yeah, but it's very true. But, you know, there's that level of raw talent that you just think, like, you know, what if? Like, he could have done it.
It would have had to be, like, just loans until,
well, that's
like,
the thing. If we just loaned him to Wolfsburg instead of selling him to Wolfsburg or...
Well, he was on loan at Werder Bremen before, right? And he did okay, then you sold him.
Well, but, so maybe it was... Maybe we did do our due diligence and then just kind of... Like, Salah and him would have never been anywhere close to the level they got to.
Yeah, Salah, no chance.
It's the same. Yeah, Salah would not look like it. No. But because he had to spend time at Fiorentina and Roma to really get good, and then Liverpool finally, like, brought him up to where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, shame. But yeah, De Bruyne, so good. Definitely deserves to win the 32-year age group. 33, we're starting to kind of like drop down to, like, you know, people are past their prime. Still some great players in here, but, you know, where the talent kind of drops a little bit.
Yeah, especially after this one.
Yeah. 33, looking like we're going English right backs.
Possibly.
Or are you guys thinking something else?
I'd go Walker here. I like Gundogan.
It really depends.
Gundogan's good, but
I don't know. Like, if I'm talking club form, I would maybe take Kieran Trippier. Like, his role in Newcastle has got them to where they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're starting, let's say you already have, like, your left back sorted, you're starting one of Trippier or Walker. Say it's the World Cup final, Champions League final. Who are you starting?
Absolutely. No, I'm starting
It's got to be Walker.
But that's not because, like, you know, if I'm talking over a league season, you know, Trippier may provide me something more going forward than what Kyle Walker does.
Yeah.
If I'm picking from one game, I'm going to pick someone who is just lockdown defender one-on-one, but can also still provide going forward, which is Kyle Walker.
You're
going
to pick one game, you're going to pick the best player.
Yes, but I don't... But also, like, you know, would you sometimes sacrifice some more offensive creativity for defensive stability? You know, like,
100%.
They work in different games. Like, if I'm playing against a team that's way worse than my team, I'm taking Kieran Trippier instead.
Yeah.
Because we're moving forward more, and we want more crosses, more attacking play.
That's what we've seen so much with Walker, though. Like, he doesn't always play. He works in a certain system for City, and City plays a different system most of the time, and Kyle Walker will come in important games and he'll lock up Vinny. And then he'll be back on the bench. Or...
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, you know, if I'm picking someone to start for England, I'm picking Kyle Walker. But I'm just saying, if we're talking based on club form, like, Trippier is starting every game. And he's their captain. And no, he's doing
their
most
important player.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm taking him based on club form. But you're right. If I'm picking someone for one game, I'm picking Kyle Walker. Yeah, Gundogan, obviously world-class when he was at Man City. I haven't really been seeing him much at Barcelona.
He's playing really well at Barcelona, but like I'm not picking up there with Walker.
No.
And even Trippier, because I like your argument a lot, Archie.
Yeah.
Also, like, Toni Kroos is still on his day. Like, when he plays.
Yeah.
Still amazing. Like, the problem with Kroos, you need to have guys around him that do all the defensive work, because he just kind of runs around, does whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need someone to control the midfield... I'm picking Kroos all day.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know, him or Walker, that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to say Walker just because Kroos isn't starting every game.
Mm-hmm. But Walker could go full 90.
Yes. I don't know if Kroos can.
No. Yeah. Like, Kroos is definitely starting to decline in his career.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you need a player in the middle of the park to control the tempo of the game, you stick in Kroos, and it's an entirely different game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm starting him. It's kind of similar to what Archie said. Champions League final, I'm putting Kroos in, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, oh, sorry, no, we're playing a really bad team. I'm putting him in, absolutely.
Yeah.
If he's going to control the game the whole time. Mm-hmm. But if there's a lot of like aggressive runners, like a younger midfield, and it's a huge game, I'd probably... prefer not to.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like Madrid, like he's not starting the huge biggest games, I don't think, anymore.
No, you're not compared to someone like Camavinga, who's just got tons of energy.
Yeah.
Or Tchouameni.
Or Valverde.
Or like
their midfield is just so gross.
Or Jude Bellingham or Modric. Hasn't even been said either.
Well, he is.
Did he say Valverde?
Yeah, no. He is playing over Modric. Crazy. Like he started more against Modric. Modric's been playing a lot.
Yeah.
Right,
which is so sad. And we're going to talk to him in like four age groups still, which is insane. So, 34, Thomas Müller.
Yeah, it's a really weak group. It has been Thomas Müller.
The other shot I had was Dani Parejo, just because he's been playing more. You know, if we're going off that plane, but like Thomas Müller's been, you know, just coming on as a substitute now. Like Musiala's got that position locked down at Bayern. But Thomas Müller is iconic. He's probably still a better player than Parejo, so...
Yeah, Parejo is really good, but...
He was class, yeah.
I think it's really tough to put Müller in over him.
I'm pretty indifferent for this one. They're both solid players, but not quite the quality that we've been talking throughout most of this list.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm totally fine to go with Thomas Müller, just, you know, because he's Thomas Müller. And, like, his... I think, like, as far as, like, football intelligence goes,
oh, he's a genius.
He's up there, like in the top three, like in this kind of era. Like,
he's also an absolute comedian.
He's so good.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's great. yeah, it'll be a shame when he retires. What a legend of Bayern and Germany and just the game in general.
Yeah.
Okay, 35 could be a little interesting. Two, you know, of the best strikers in this generation. We got Lewandowski, famously quoted by Thomas Müller.
Yeah.
And we got Karim Benzema, who's now playing his trade in Saudi Arabia. What are we thinking here?
I'm still taking Benzema, even though he's in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a big game, same as what we were saying before, Champions League final, World Cup, whatever, I am taking Benzema every day over Lewandowski. Even though he's been playing in Saudi recently, I don't care. I think Benzema's still the better player. He just came off the Ballon d'Or as well. Or I guess not just, it's been a year, but...
Yeah.
I'd definitely take him over Lewandowski.
Yeah,
what
me
do you guys
too.
Think?
Also, like, he could have stayed at Madrid. They would have loved to keep him another year.
Yeah.
He just got offered the biggest salary in the whole sport, like... That's fair. But he said yes.
What are you
gonna
do?
Can't blame the man.
No, you can't.
No.
Because set the next like 20 generations of the Benzema name are set for life.
Yeah.
That's like, so true. If he was still at Madrid, it's hands down him. I don't think that's close. But because it's in Saudi, I know there's an argument for Lua, but I take Benzema still. Like, I just think he's a game changer, and like he can do so much more than just score goals.
Yeah, you know what? You guys probably convinced me. I remember before I was saying Lewandowski, but yeah, I think what we know Benzema can do, and I think if you put him in, yeah, put him still in Real Madrid's system, or you put him in the France team or something like that, like he would just still go crazy.
Yeah,
he's just he is that guy. Like, whereas I think Lewandowski, like, he kind of is, but he also is not. But yeah, also,
he's having some pretty tough seasons as well.
But I mean, come on, let's like Lewandowski, like, you know, deserved potentially two Ballon d'Ors as well.
Yeah, yes. Like, you got to give the man his credit. I just think Benzema's better still.
Yeah,
but Lewandowski, absolutely insane player. Yeah.
Benzema does more. Like, he did more for Madrid than Lewandowski would do for Barca. Like, I view Lewandowski as just a pure goal scorer. Yes, and that's what he gives you. Benzema can do that and, you know, drop in as a false nine, provided for Vinny and Rodrigo, you know, played almost slightly more Harry Kane-esque as well. So that's, I guess, why I would take Benzema more. But, you know, I still want to shout out Lewandowski, you know, arguably the best goal scorer of this generation. Fair.
Also, I think it's worth mentioning Sergio Busquets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is now in Miami, but he now comfortably looks like the second best player in MLS behind Messi. Maybe with Alba too, but the way he just controls
it's
hilarious to watch someone who's just so much smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
They have not seen a midfielder
and
like that.
And it's the tiniest little shimmy as well, and it'll just turn the other way and nobody can get him.
Yeah, he's impossible to take the ball off of. Like, that's... Like, Messi, of course, is the biggest transfer MLS has ever had. Yeah. Busquets might be number two.
You think more than David Beckham?
Oh, for the league? No, definitely not. Number three.
But there's a lot of big players that have come through MLS.
Yeah.
Well,
like, I still think Busquets could still do it for most teams in Europe.
But again, that's, you know, what we were saying is he plays in a position that's kind of underappreciated.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like, when you look at big transfers, you know, you look at the people who are scoring the goals or who are moving forward, right? Like, that's what we think of. We don't think of somebody who's just dictating the game, controlling the game for his team.
That's true.
So, you know, someone like Busquets, you know, people in America are going to be like, well, he's just like, he's not scoring any goals, so he's just not nearly as good as Messi.
That's so true. As long as Zlatan does that, David Villa, even Pirlo.
I would say people think of those transfers as bigger than Busquets.
That's super fair. Yeah.
But, like, he, you know, people who would know the game and people, you know, who are, you know, watch football at all will know that Busquets deserves to be in that conversation of one of the best MLS transfers and, I guess, players ever to be seen.
I agree.
But, yeah, anyways, moving onwards. 36, I think we only need to say one word and move on.
The GOAT.
Messi. Yeah, or the GOAT, that works too, I guess. the best ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. I don't think there's no competition at the age of 36.
I've been seeing a lot of debates that Messi should have won, like, only, like, 3 Ballon d'Ors or
that's
4
just
Ballon
pushed
d'Ors.
By Ronaldo fans.
I'm like, come on. Like,
no way.
Like, he was the most dominant player for so long. Like, you just, like, you know, I get, yeah, maybe some seasons, but, like, you're pulling, like, you know, some people are saying, like, Wesley Sneijder over Messi the year when,
2010
was that, yeah.
I think Messi was best player in the world at
Messi
the time.
Was the best player
I think
in the world.
Forget Ballon d'Or is for the best player. And I feel like that's kind of changed back to whoever had the best season.
Yeah.
But it was whoever was the best player, and that was always him and Ronaldo.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not, like,
even honestly, when, even over Ribery, when Ronaldo won it, mm-hmm. I still think it absolutely was Ronaldo's.
Yeah.
Or when Modric won, I also think that was Ronaldo's too. Like,
yeah. And, you know, people like, say, even for Haaland this year, people are saying Haaland deserved it because he won the treble. But I'm like, yeah, sure, he won the treble, but he's got a whole team that won the treble as well. You know, then why don't you give it to Julian Alvarez, who also won the World Cup?
Yeah, like Messi, like, also, if Messi was the striker for City, I still think they win the treble. If you put Haaland up front for Argentina, they don't win that World Cup.
No. That's also, that's Messi though, you know, as we were talking with Benzema and Lewandowski, you know, Benzema does more for the team, Messi does more for the team in his role,
yeah.
Whereas Haaland's just a machine in scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get what you're saying in the fact that Messi, you know, if you stuck him in that system, he would still, yeah, they'd still win the league. And people would be shouting for him for Ballon d'Or then, just because he only won the World Cup.
And he was still ridiculous last year in Ligue 1. And then, I mean, we saw him in MLS just set it on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's going to be his last Ballon d'Or. Like, you know,
he's... Yeah, we know it's over. It's almost like an honorary one. Like, maybe if it was 2 years ago, that then Haaland might have won it.
Mm.
Just because, like, oh, Messi can come back. But this was, like... different. When you win the World Cup, I think that changes things.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's in the MLS now. There's no more World Cup for another while.
Yeah. 40-year-old Messi still playing.
You think
for
he's
Miami?
Got another Euros in him? I think so.
Copa America? Yeah, he's playing there. Copa America.
Wow.
We need to go back to geography.
What's next summer? I can't believe I just said that. I totally meant Copa America.
He's playing. He's absolutely playing. He said he might retire from the national team after that.
I think that's what he said. Yeah, he's going to be done after.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he hangs on for one more World Cup. But we'll see.
World Cup. You mean Copa America?
Maybe World
Cup. World Cup, no chance.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe as the coach. Like,
I don't know. I think 40? He can do it.
Or, I guess, 39, 40? You think he'll still be...
If he wanted to, I still don't think he'll be motivated to.
I don't think, like, you know...
Well, Ibra was going to go to the Euros with Sweden at 40. Yeah. And then he got injured right before.
If, you know, if Ronaldo and Messi were the same age, like, I would say Ronaldo's more likely to go to the next World Cup than Messi is.
Yes, I think Ronaldo will go to the next World Cup.
But I think that's also just based on, like, I don't know, like, how I think of them. Like, I think of Ronaldo as kind of, like, you know, he's just a workhorse and, like, he really cares about, like, his fitness and, like, his health, and I feel like he really takes care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think Messi's just such a pure talent. He's just, like, you know, he's moved to Miami, he's just enjoying himself. I'm sure Ronaldo is, too, in Saudi Arabia, but... You kind of get what I'm saying? Like, he would do more for his health to, like, keep going for longer.
Ronaldo also wanted to stay in Europe. Messi was like, no, I'm... Like, maybe he... I think he would have gone back to Barcelona, given the chance to try and win one more Champions League.
Yeah.
But
he's
like, I've won everything. I can just go hang out in Miami and live my best life.
Yeah, absolutely. Messi. We didn't even write down anybody else under 36, so no shout. 37, we've got two goalies.
good one.
That's a parody because we've got Giroud and Neuer written down. I'm taking Giroud. Like,
maybe if Neuer was fit, like he's come off the Brooklyn, maybe I'd say him. But Giroud's just been playing really well.
Both he also, level. At 37 years old, just scored a bike for the national team.
Yeah, like insane.
He doesn't score normal goals.
Yeah, that's true.
He's also one of the top scorers in Serie A, you know, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like third or second top scorer.
Yeah,
like,
he was first for a little bit, but I think Lautaro must have overtaken him.
Yeah, he has. But at 37, obviously Neuer's been a better player throughout his career. Like, you know, Neuer's one of the best goalies ever. But Giroud right now is like doing incredible at 37.
Yeah, like, I always really thought Giroud was underrated as well.
Absolutely.
He really didn't get the recognition he deserved, but
yeah. At Arsenal and Chelsea.
Yeah, and he was consistently such a good player. But I've got to take Giroud here.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one.
I will not complain.
Yeah. 38, actually, funny enough, might be kind of interesting. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, this is our last one as well, right?
This is our last one. Wow, we've made it to the end.
We've got two really good options here.
Two Real Madrid legends as well.
It's poetic that it ends on CR7 as well.
It is pretty poetic. Again, arguably, some people think he's the GOAT.
If Dow was here, we would be forced into picking
one. We would be forced, yeah. sorry, Dow, dude. I think I might have to go Modric. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to go Ronaldo here over Modric, to be honest. Modric isn't playing that much anymore. He can't get into that lineup. Ronaldo has been doing so well in Saudi Arabia. He's bagging goals. It's a competitive league now as well.
And Modric is going to go to Saudi Arabia, it seems like, at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think Ancelotti is now betting in younger players. I don't think... If it was a Champions League final, if it were a huge Champions League game, I think there's a good chance Modric starts.
Yeah.
But... Mm-hmm. It's time, especially in La Liga, to play these younger guys.
Yeah, but...
Because Modric, he's gone after this season.
Absolutely, but even at the start of the year, like, Modric was still playing most games. Like, it's just not... Like, starting now, he's starting to filter in, you know, all these young players more. You know, like... Modric is still playing on Real Madrid. You know, I'm just saying, like, I think Modric is just world class, and I think his ability at 38 is just, I don't know. I just think he's been a bit better than Ronaldo for a couple of years now.
So tough. It's just, it's tough to gauge it when they're in Saudi Arabia. Like, I feel comfortable with Benzema because I know he definitely hasn't gotten any worse or barely gotten worse since leaving Real Madrid when he was arguably the best striker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronaldo's been out of the limelight, and he's also had a rough last few months at Man United, where he definitely wasn't nearly one of the top players in the Premier League, whereas Modric, until like right now, has still been one of the top players in La Liga.
Yeah, exactly.
So that kind of swings it for me, but Ronaldo is annihilating that league.
I think he's averaging over a goal a game right now for Al Nassr.
He's averaging, yeah.
Like just over.
Get assists too.
He's played 12 games. He's averaging 11.9 goals per 90. So just less than, like literally just less than one goal a game.
Per 90.
So
okay. I just mean game played. Like,
right. Okay, so he's just 13 and 12.
Yeah.
And 7 assists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's almost getting 2 goal contributions a game.
And he scored, I think, in every game he played in this international break as well.
He did score today. He got an assist for Portugal. Yeah. Still, at 38. Like, still. Not too bad.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying Ronaldo's washed at all, because he's definitely not. You know, I just think if we're talking over the last couple of years, and again, I'm not watching Al Nassr games either, but I would just say Modric is just, he just hasn't declined as much, and I think obviously Ronaldo was a better player, but I don't know. I just think Modric, if he was still playing in the Madrid team, he would still kill it.
Madrid easily could have brought Ronaldo back if they thought he was at that level, and they didn't. Oh, yeah, that's what swings it for me. I was so close to saying Ronaldo, but I guess for that reason, I'm sticking with Modric.
I'll take the hat for Dow. I do think Ronaldo at this point is a better player than Modric.
Fair.
And I've got love for Modric. He is one of the most exciting midfielders to watch.
I love Modric.
But yeah, Ronaldo has just still been so consistently good. I guess he's dropped to a league that suits him better now. But even despite that, he's doing really well. Euros qualifiers, he's done really well as well. 10 goals in 9 matches, 2 assists.
They have like Liechtenstein in their group.
They have bad teams in their group.
Yeah,
say like Euro qualifiers, I feel like are terrible. And World Cup qualifiers are a terrible way.
Yeah, like, but Lukaku scored 4 goals in 36 minutes. He's still playing for the national team, and he's still got a key role. Maybe in the World Cup, it was like he kind of had his spot taken, but I don't know. I think he's playing at a higher level right now than Modric is.
That's my definitely pick. True. He's playing a lot better.
And like Modric always has sparks of brilliance in every game, but I think his consistency has just dropped so much.
I don't know, but
like
that.
In such a high pace game, I don't know if he can keep up or how long he can keep up for. You know, maybe bring it on for the last 30 minutes.
But even with Ronaldo, like if he was in playing for Real Madrid, I doubt he'd be able to play every full 90. Like,
yeah, he definitely wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just like, I see Modric, like how he plays. I think he could still play for another year and still be great. Like
I think so too.
He doesn't rely on his athletic ability.
But Ronaldo could too, I think, as well.
He could, but I feel like his position demands more, and how he plays demands more physicality. And I'm not saying he doesn't have that, because he obviously still does.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, the La Liga is a big step up from the Saudi League.
Yeah.
And it could impact him. I mean, at his time at Manchester United, he wasn't that successful there, was he? Like,
no.
You know, kind of showed his age a little bit. Obviously, he was still great in this first season there, but then second season didn't go too hot. I just think Modric at that age could do more, because he just doesn't rely on the physicality of the game as much. He relies on his technical ability, which hasn't gone away, clearly.
Fine, okay. Yep, Modric, I'm locking it in.
Hey, I'm still going Ronaldo here, but I totally see your point. I love Modric, so
yeah. Well, that was a nice little debate to wrap it up.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that list? Was that kind of how you expected it to go? You see some surprises in there at all?
Mostly as expected.
I think it was kind of, you know, when you're going through these lists, you can kind of think, yeah. I think the one that maybe surprised me was, where were we talking about?
I'd say my surprise would have been that nobody backed Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, probably, but also...
But I'm happy that we all have love for Bernardo Silva, because
he's
so good.
He's so good. I guess the one thing for me was maybe not picking Barella at 26. Like, we didn't even mention him. But I feel like I don't know. That's tough. I don't know about Ruben Dias, but with...
Yeah,
I
think Ruben Dias is just...
With Teo.
Yeah. Also, one name we didn't mention was Tchouameni. How old's he? 23. Oh, never mind.
He's not getting it.
Yeah. Big Erling Haaland.
But still, like, I would say he could be on the level of, like, Alphonso Davies or Phil Foden, maybe.
I'd take him over both of those players.
Yeah.
Just honestly.
Like, yeah. Like, I love Reece James, but we mentioned him over Tchouameni. Like...
I don't think Reece James got a mention, actually.
I think he's on the board. I skipped over him.
Yeah.
Because I thought...
The two main ones were Vinny and Haaland. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, well, that was the thing. They were overshadowed. Like, we didn't need much conversation there.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention Osimhen's name or Declan... I guess we mentioned Declan Rice as a joke. The delict didn't get mentioned. Like...
Yeah.
Wow. That was, again, with competing with Mbappe, so they're not going to win that, but still amazing players that...
Yeah.
In most other age categories, would be number one.
I thought what was so interesting was the fact that some age groups, like even the younger age groups, some of them were such duds. Like 21 and 27, like had nobody. But then there's some age groups like 26 and 23 were just so stacked. Like it was kind of surprising. I guess, I don't know, I guess what was just being bred in those years.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange way to put it, but... yeah, it's fun. How do you guys enjoy that?
That was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think it's crazy how amazing young players are now. Because I feel like 10 years ago, there would be, or 15, longer ago, all the best players would have been like 24 onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have like the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world is 20 years old in Jude. And like so is Pedri and Musiala. All those 20-year-olds are...
Yeah. And then
in my eyes, top 10, 20 players in the world.
Do you know who I think is somebody who is retired now, but who I think was one of just the best like young players at like 16 years old? Michael Owen. I was going to say Wayne Rooney.
Mm. Oh, fair.
Like at Everton, there's so many like funny interviews of him like pretty much saying like he walked into the team at 16 and said like to all of his team, like he pretty much like thought all of his teammates were shite. Like he thought they were all so bad. And he was 16 years old. And like he came into that team at 16 and was just like their best player almost immediately.
I feel like there's a pattern of really young players falling off just because they're playing so much football. Like Pedri already is showing that because he was playing so consistently from such a young age. Gavi, Mike tore his ACL in the Spain match today. He's been playing consistently since he was 16, and these guys like don't get breaks. You know?
It's so true. Well, Rooney retired at like what? Rooney's like 2 years older than Ronaldo, and he's been retired for like. Three, 4 years? Like,
and he'd stepped down. Like, he left United when he was, like, 32, I want to say.
Back to Everton and was just...
Like, he reined down his career really quick. And I think it's some weight issues and stuff, which doesn't help, and drinking as well.
Yeah.
But it's different. I think we're seeing a lot of players play longer at a really high level. Like, even Ibra was amazing until he was, like, 40, when his legs just collided, like, shattered. He'd run for 30 seconds and do his knee and, like...
Yeah.
We are seeing players like adapt their games a lot better than I think we did 20 years ago. Like Harry Kane, I could easily see play at the top level for another 8 years. He felt like it. 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. I would agree. Okay. Well, why don't we wrap it up there for now? Thanks everybody again for tuning in to another episode of us. And we'll see you all next week for some more fun.
Bye everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning into the Football Spectacle. Make sure to follow us for more thrilling football stories, updates, and analysis.